This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 451 in the series. This session shares the Franklin Mass Board of Health meeting held on Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Some of the health department were in the municipal building. The remainder of the committee and public were remote via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to my notes. The recording runs just about 25 minutes, so let's listen to the Board of Health meeting on Wednesday, February 3rd.
All right, Kathleen, we good?
Yes, go right ahead. Do you have everything?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you.
So as a preliminary matter, this is Bridget Sweet. Permit me to confirm that all members and persons anticipated on the agenda are present and can hear me. Members, when I call your name, please respond in the affirmative. Vice Chair Tim Cochran?
Here.
And Member Jeff Harris?
Here.
Staff, when I call your name, please respond to the affirmative. Director of Public Health, Kathleen Liberty?
Here.
Health Agent, Ginny McNeil?
Here.
Administrative Support, Tyler?
Present.
Thank you. So, good evening. This is an open meeting of the Franklin Board of Health, and it is being conducted remotely consistent with Governor Baker's executive order of March 12, 2020, due to the current state of emergency in the Commonwealth from the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. In order to mitigate the transmission of this virus, we've been advised and directed by the Commonwealth to suspend public gatherings, and as such, the Governor's order suspends the requirement of the open meeting law to have all meetings in a publicly accessible physical location. Further, all members of the public body are allowed and encouraged to participate remotely. The order, which you may find posted online, allows for public bodies to meet entirely remotely, so long as reasonable public access is afforded, so that the public may follow along with the deliberations of this meeting. Ensuring public access does not ensure public participation unless such participation is required by law. This meeting may feature public comment. For this meeting, we are convening by telephone video conferencing via the Google Meet application as posted on the town's website. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and that some attendees are participating by video conference. Accordingly, please be aware that other folks may be able to see you and take care not to screen share your computer. Anything you broadcast may be captured by the recording. All supporting meeting materials that have been provided to the members of the board are available on the town's website unless otherwise noted. In the meeting business ground rules, please remember that we would like to have effective and clear conduct of our business and to ensure accurate meeting minutes. I, the chair, will introduce each speaker on the agenda, and after they conclude their remarks, the chair will go down the line of members, inviting each to speak by name. Please remember to mute your phone and or computer when you're not actively speaking. Please remember to speak clearly and in a way that helps generate accurate minutes. For any additional responses, please wait until the chair yields the floor to you and state your name prior to speaking. For items of public comment, we will afford public comment as follows. We'll first ask members of the public who wish to speak to identify their name and address only. Once we have a listing of public commentators, we'll call on each by name and afford up to 3 minutes for any comments. Finally, any vote taken this evening must be conducted by a roll call vote. All right. With that being said, the only item on the agenda, I believe, are COVID updates. Actually, I lied. Kathleen, you're muted. So first, I guess we could do our approve the
minutes. Yeah, approve the minutes.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, I'm all about COVID all the time. So I assume that Jeff and Tim both had an opportunity to read the minutes. Is there any discussion related to the minutes at this time?
No discussion on the minutes.
Not for me.
All right. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
Motion to accept the minutes from the January 6, 2021 meeting of the Board of Health.
Is there a second?
I second that.
All right, so all in favor, roll call vote. Tim?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. So the minutes have been accepted as submitted. Thank you for that. And now the next item of our agenda, I'd like to move to Kathleen Liberty.
Yes. COVID vaccine update. So it's all about COVID, and now it's all about COVID vaccines. So I'm just going to go down my list. I actually have a list. Just an update on February 10th and February 17th will be our second clinic, second dose for the first responders. So those will be out of the way shortly, and all our first responders will be vaccinated along with whoever volunteered, such as some school nurses, et cetera. So that's on its way. We're still partnering, obviously, with Milford Millis, Bellingham, and Medway in those clinics. So that should be another big one. The second thing is we've kind of put together a vaccine clinic group, if you may, consisting of health, fire, and you know, we're trying to, you know, logistically plan things out, because the ordering, the allotment of vaccine is kind of up in the air. And as you know, I think I told you last time that the DPH has capped health departments at 100 doses, and then it's always if you get it. So that being said, we put together a kind of a little committee. We decided that we would hold something like a pop-up vaccine clinic for the seniors 75 and over. That's first in phase two. We would do this at the senior center. And so the fire chief and his staff, Jenny, myself, and the director at the senior center, Aaron Rogers, we did a walkthrough last Friday or Monday, I can't remember. And so the fire chief, you know, feels it's a good emergency dispensing site, and we have all the logistics in place. Oh, Monday, thanks, Bridget. So we have talked more about that today, but just backing up a little bit, the vaccines will be delivered to the fire department because it's a 24/7, and one of my worst fears is that, you know, they get delivered at the town hall and right, and we're closed. So I got that changed, and I ordered the doses for the seniors. So hopefully I'll find out Friday if I get that allocation. If I get the allocation, we'll have the delivery next Tuesday or Wednesday. So we have a target date of February 16th, it's a Tuesday, to hold approximately a 4-hour clinic. You will see two things. On Friday, you'll see a Google form be published for 75 and over, who can either call the senior center and you know, possibly get on a list or sign up. And so we'll have some information to contact these folks who are interested in a vaccine. It was gonna be a little quiet. We're gonna keep it a little quiet, because we don't want, we don't want to turn down any seniors, right? Or not seniors, or 75 and older. But it hit Facebook today somehow, some way, someone found out that the seniors, so, and I just want to correct this, that if anyone sees this posting, it's Senior Center is getting the vaccine and providing it and holding the clinic when ultimately they're hosting the clinic. And it doesn't matter, but I just want you to have your facts straight. So that's in the plan. So that's our plan right now. And do you have any questions about that type of vaccine clinic at the senior center?
I do not. As the chair, I am fully aware of the constraints and the challenging environment it is in which to order this vaccine. It is like liquid gold. And the rapid way of which it's being deployed in some capacity and not others. I definitely want to remind people that our close proximity to Gillette Stadium does impact the allotment that the Franklin Health Department is eligible to receive. If you're close to that location, the state is exacerbating and really wants us to use those large throughput sites because of that capacity. So that's part of the reason why some of our community towns are only getting 100 vaccines at a time. It's because they want people to go to the throughput sites. In addition, there has been
some movement and that pharmacies should start beginning receiving the vaccine next week as well. So that will also open up the vaccine capacity. I'd also just like to take a moment and recognize the work that you and Ginny and Tyler and Anne-Marie have done with the vaccine sort of dashboard. I think the town did a really nice job with that. I think it makes it sort of one-stop shopping that you can check that site and, you know, enroll as necessary. So I think you guys did a really good job pretty much trying to make the best of an information that is really fluid and you know, it's being piecemealed to the health department to begin with. So I think you guys, you know, the town, you, Anne-Marie, the health department, you guys did a really good job with that. So I just wanted to make sure that people know how much work is going behind the scenes. I know there's a lot of discussion and sort of concern that the health department and or the town aren't doing enough. Maybe I'm biased because I'm the chair and I've been on the board for a couple of years, but I think you guys are doing a phenomenal job. It's really hard to schedule a clinic or even try to schedule a clinic when you don't know if you're even going to get the doses. So a lot of our partner communities are scheduling clinics and posting clinics, and they don't even have the vaccine in their refrigerator. So just kind of reminding people that you guys are doing the best you can. The constraints are not town constraints, they're state constraints. And if you don't follow the due diligence or the process and or protocol that's been provided by the state, we are no longer eligible to receive vaccine. So I just want people to kind of know that. And with my two cents, Tim, Jeff, anything else to add?
Kathleen, I just had a question. Obviously, we are taking early steps to try and make whatever clinics we can host based on the vaccines we have access to work efficiently and successfully. Do you see the models that we've used so far translating well to, you know, as our access grows, or are there things that maybe you've seen that we've been able to change to make the process a little bit more effective based on what we've done so far for the first responders and what the plan is for 75 and older?
You mean the logistics,
because obviously that's been, I mean, that's the nightmare, right? That's the nightmare. What Bridget was talking about is how do you do something when you don't have all, how do you make this work when you don't have the answers to all the questions? Have you seen, and I think congratulations are in order for how successful the first responders clinic was. Do you see that translating well to the other phases, or do you think that there's ways we can plan to adapt these clinics for the next phases as they sort of come in?
Yeah, I think both. I think that if we end up having a large scale, like with the first responders, that the Franklin High School, well, it is our emergency dispensing site, and our plan works beautifully. But we can still take that plan and implement it like we did in the senior center, like we're going to. And we roll it out so that it's the same, right? It's the same setup, so we're all familiar with it. So I hope that's answering your question.
It is. I think it's valuable for us to hear that because the information is fluid, because every day is a new challenge, that this isn't a one size fits all, that we're prepared to make the adjustments as they come up and as they need to be made. I think it's helpful for that reassurance.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I'm just gonna kind of toot your horn, actually. So Milford Regional Hospital reached out, and through Milford, the health director, they found out that our vaccine clinic for the first responders went so seamless that they've asked her and I to assist with their clinic. So you can't ask for more than that, right? So we started on Friday. I think that, yeah, it's good news. It really is good news.
That's great news.
But it's a collaborative effort, right? I mean, so we had volunteers that were amazing. We had all the boards of health that were amazing, fire, police. I mean, it was just such a great collaborative effort, and it went seamless. So, you know, we're all on the same page, and that's so important, because I don't know if it's like that in other communities. So I'll just say that. So anyways, yeah. So yes, I can answer, safely say yes, we can. It's a one size fits all. We can put it anywhere.
Great.
Which brings me to my next update. Let's see here. So the state said, I think it was last week, Bridget, correct me if I'm wrong, that we can vaccinate residents in the housing authority. So we quickly, you know, reconvened and we talked about that. And we're doing a walkthrough. Again, when I say we, I mean fire and Jenny, and, you know, all the relevant people. We're doing a walkthrough through the community center there at Housing Authority to set up a vaccine clinic for them. The doses have been ordered. So, you know, so that's just an example to what Tim was just asking. So we're just all on the same page and just working to get people vaccinated. So So if that happens, it will be two weeks out. I don't have a target date for that. And we also have homebound people that live there as well. And so, you know, hopefully we can get to them as well, which would be really important. Let's see. Oh, and here's a big one. So Magnolia Heights is an independent living facility. And they're not considered assisted living. They're not considered congregate care. They fell through the cracks. The CDC vaccine program kicked them out. And so here they are with 165 residents, and many of them are elderly. So they have no access to a clinic. I reached out to a pharmacy in Marlboro that I had worked with when I worked out there, because I heard that they had been doing some of these facilities in their own town that they, you know, work, that their place of business is. And I heard back from one of the owners Saturday night that they will be doing a vaccine clinic at Magnolia Heights this Friday. The only thing on us is that we have to get volunteers and vaccinators, which we've already done. So on Friday, that will come to fruition. And believe me, I have been beat up by family members there. So if I seem very elated about this, it's because I can put it to bed and everyone gets vaccines. So that's, I just wanted to share that. That's a real, real, really good thing that this pharmacy is doing out of the kindness of their heart. So just wanted to share that.
Kathleen, sorry to interrupt, but there was a comment in the comment section that I think is important to put on the record. Bridget, did you want to just put that on the record?
Yeah, sure. Just for people that may be dialing in or see the minutes in the future, it's just really important to note that the clarification of the Housing Authority allocation is completely separate and comes from a different provider than the community allocation. So I don't want people to think that it's coming from the same bucket. It's a totally different state allocation that you guys have worked hard to receive, but it's not part of our general community clinic allocation.
Thanks, Bridget. I didn't see that in the chat box.
Thanks,
talking to
all. And yeah, and the other piece too is, you know, thank you. I know that you put a lot of time and effort into securing that for Magnolia Heights. So it's definitely well appreciated. And, you know, as the vaccine becomes more available, I'm just hoping that we get it in more, you know, as many arms as possible.
Yeah, definitely. I can't even tell you how happy I am about that. It ties into the COVID information. So I also want to let you know, and I may be speaking a foreign language to, you know, Tim and Jeff, but we are enrolled in PrepMod. PrepMod is what, you know, what you've seen how to enroll in a vaccine clinic for other towns and cities, for other places. So that's, most of them are using PrepMod. So it's a software system that goes from A to Z. And it's really good. However, we're gonna not use that for what I'm talking about here, because we don't want anyone just registering to come to the senior center or the housing authority. So if we have a larger scale down the road, or we do more, so, you know, when it comes time for our other phases, then you may see Franklin up there on mass.gov because we'll be enrolling through PrepMod. So I just wanted to let you know we're, you know, we're right up to speed, as far as I'm concerned.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Anything else, Kathleen?
No. I've said enough.
All right. With that being said, Tim or Jeff, anything else to add?
No. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Jeff? This is like when I'm teaching remotely on Zoom to college kids, and I'm like, Bueller? Bueller? Jeff, I think you're still muted.
I think I can unmute him. Hold on. Which one is he, 01 or 08? I think he's 01.
I think he's 01.
I can't. He's got himself muted, so I can't unmute him.
Yeah, I can't unmute him. I tried. All right. All right. With that being said, there are a couple of other people on the line, it looks like. Anybody else from the general public have any comments and or concerns? If you could raise your hand. Kathleen, you can see raise hand, right?
Yeah, I don't see any. Although I could be looking at it wrong. No.
I don't see.